9. This is Brian Gall back at the Sports Desk after my short break to bring you the latest in local and national sports action. But not a word about England's penalty triumph in the World Cup match against Colombia on Tuesday evening. You'll hear quite enough about that on television and radio endlessly over the next few days, I'm sure. So I'll start my report this week on the gentle subject of cricket. I returned from holiday to find that our local sides in the first division of the Worcestershire County League lost on Saturday. Hagley were beaten by 80 runs at Evesham, but Pedmore did at least put up a fight in their home fixture against Cookley. Pedmore scored 304 all out, thus setting a fairly hefty target for their visitors, but Cookley were equal to it and reached a winning score of 305 for 7 with one over plus one ball to spare. Must have been interesting viewing for the spectators. But the stars of the local cricket scene at the moment are undoubtedly Stourbridge. They play in the third division of the Birmingham League, and their latest home fixture featured a visit by Rugby, who were in second place in the league table, behind Stourbridge at the top. Stour defended their lead at the top. Indeed, they extended it with an excellent run chase after they'd restricted Rugby to a total of 278. Stourbridge's reply didn't start well. They lost both opening bats early on, but a double century stand between Bradley and Perry made certain of an excellent victory with almost 10 overs to spare. Victory extended Stourbridge's lead at the top of Division 3 to 13 points and relegated Rugby from second to third place in the league table. Stourbridge's next match is away from home at Stratford, who took over the second place from Rugby in the league, so that's likely to prove a stern test for our local team. News on the local speedway front this time is that Wolverhampton Wolves maintained their unbeaten home record in the Elite League with a 47 points to 43 win against Leicester, but that score was closer than it should have been. The Wolves built an early lead in this match, but were in danger of frittering it away before a late recovery saw them safely home. Then, on Monday this week, the same two teams met again, this time at the Leicester track, where fortunes were reversed, but only just. Leicester won the second encounter by 46 points to 44, and the architect of their victory was Ricky Wells, who used to be a Wolves rider. Halfway through this meeting, it looked all up for the Wolves, who'd fallen 10 points behind. But they're nothing if not good grinders, and the team began to assert themselves and claw back the deficit. In fact, after 14 of the 15 heats, the scores were level. But in the final race, that man Wells had the final word. He won the heat. Wolves could only manage second and fourth places, and so they lost the match by a two-point margin. They earned one league point for finishing within 7 points of the winners, but have still to win an away league fixture this season. However, thanks to a 100% home record, they are still in third place in the league table, 3 points behind the leaders, Swindon. And the next meeting is at home to Somerset next Monday. Do you remember my occasional mention of the Harts Hill Strollers? They are the walking football team for the over 50-year-olds who play, or maybe I should say stroll, their stuff at Summerhill School playing fields in King's Winford. Their over 65s team recently beat Birmingham Walking Football Club 3-1 to reach the West Midlands final of the Walking Football Association National Cup 2018, sharing the limelight with their over 50s team, who also beat Birmingham over 50s in the same competition. Both these teams will be playing in the regional final against opponents yet to qualify during August, and if they can win then, we'll go on to the national final later in the year. I will keep listeners posted. I would have liked to spend last weekend at the Alexander Stadium in Birmingham watching the UK athletics trials for the European Athletics Championships coming up in Berlin in August. But I was not able to make that, and with so much major sport taking place just now, it was not carried live on television either. Local boy, well, fairly local, he's from Stratford, Andrew Potsey won the 110-metre hurdles. Laura Muir, who's regarded as our leading middle-distance female runner, won the 800 metres. And the delightfully named Beth Dobbin galloped to victory in the women's 200 metres. There were no really outstanding times or jumps recorded, and I think Team GB are in a bit of a fallow period just now, but there are still a couple of years until the next Olympics, and some of our top performers were missing at the weekend. There had been a hope, maybe even an expectation, that 20-year-old sprinter Rhys Prescott might beat Linford Christie's more than 20-year-old British record of 9.87 seconds in the 100 metres. Prescott was 100th of a second outside that in a Diamond League race meeting at Shanghai earlier this year, but neither he nor anyone else came close last weekend. I'm not too hopeful of much success for Team GB in Berlin next month, but maybe someone will surprise us. Listeners will not be surprised to learn that I've spent a fair bit of time lately sprawled on the sofa watching the tennis. It's still very early days at Wimbledon, but a great win on Monday for 19-year-old Katie Swan in her first appearance at these championships. She was taken on by Andy Murray's sports management team a few months ago. Andy knows a good tennis player when he sees one, and I shall be surprised if, with his support, Katie is not among the leading ladies in a few years. Jo Konta caused the usual palpitations among spectators in her first-round match, but came through in the end, and there were first-round wins for Kyle Edmund, who is our number one men's tennis player these days, but defeat for his deputy, Cameron Norrie, our number two, and also, after a brave fight against the Latvian Gulbis, for 19-year-old Jay Clark. But I'm sure we'll hear more of him over the next few years. But I thought I may have seen a couple of other names for the future. One of these was in the Eastbourne Ladies Tournament last week when a 20-year-old Belarusian, Ariana Sabalenka, fought through to the final, which she eventually lost to Wozniacki. Sabalenka is a powerfully built girl with a service and ground strokes to match, and I shall be very surprised if we're not watching her win big tournaments before long. And the other name belongs to a Brit, 21-year-old Harriet Dart, who lost her first-round match at Wimbledon against Pliskova, but boy, does she have a powerful service and great ground strokes, plus a personality to match. She is definitely not one of those so-called promising juniors given a wild card into the first round at Wimbledon, never to be heard of again. In fact, I think we have quite a promising crop of young players, both male and female, who have a chance to make a very good living on the tennis circuit. I hope I'm correct on that. Almost unnoticed amongst all the tennis and soccer news was Sunday's latest round of Formula One, the Austrian Grand Prix, and doubtless the Mercedes teams would like to keep it that way. Quickest in practice and leading on the starting grid, where for once Bottas occupied first place with Hamilton second, the Mercedes cars both failed to last the race. Bottas was out with hydraulics problems after only 14 laps, while Hamilton suffered fuel problems and had to retire a few laps from the end. The Red Bull team won the race with Max Verstappen first across the line, while the Ferraris of Raikkonen and Vettel took second and third. Vettel has thus scraped a one-point lead over Hamilton in the Drivers' Championship. And the next race is this weekend at Silverstone, where Hamilton will hope to return to the top of the tree in his home event. Anyway, it's back to sprawling on the sofa to catch up with the tennis for me. I'll be back with you next week, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.